554, the bottom of the page, Perek Dalid. Last time we didn't get too far because we started discussing Nefesh Kisechto, why a person who sins accidentally needs to bring a korban, that we discussed at great length last time. But what we didn't discuss is the pasuk itself. Now the Mefarshim ask over here a number of questions. First of all, it's like the Daskin Malatesis asks a question. Normally in the Chumash, it says, Adam ki yakriv, Adam ki sechta. Why does it say over here, Nefesh ki sechta? Which implies that the soul is who's sinning. It should say, Adam ki yachta, if a person sins. I mean, it would, you know, why does it have to say the word Nefesh, which means as if to blame the soul? So he says, the Daskin Balatesa answers as follows. He says, because the primary sin is dependent on the soul. Why? And he gives a marshal. There's a king that two people sinned against the king. One was a complete foreigner, and one was a guy from the king's country, where the king lived. So he says, they come both to the judgment by the king, and the king blames more the guy from the country than the outsider in the crime. And he says, the king explains, the outsider, what does he know already? Doesn't know the laws of the country so much. But you live here, you know the laws of the country. Why are you rebelling against me? So if you're rebelling against me, this is much worse than if an outsider rebels against you. So Das Gemara Taisa says the same thing with the Nefesh and the Guf. Hashem gets angry at the sin, at the soul for sinning, than if the body sins. The soul is a part of Hashem. The neshama is a child of God. So Hashem says, listen, the body sins, that's a foreigner. You know, I can understand that he sins. But you, the nefesh sins, that's what I can't understand. And it's an interesting thing. It's brought down in Chassidus, not that I learned Zohar, but in Chassidus it brings down from the Zohar that on the pasuk nefesh kisechta simply means a person's the soul sins. In Zohar it says the expression nefesh kisechta tva. Tva means it's a wonder. The Zohar says, not it's a statement, nefesh kisechta. The Zohar learns that pasuk is asking a question, nefesh kisechta? How could a soul sin? How a soul is a part of God, how could a soul sin? So the Zohar says the pasuk is not a statement, it's a shocking expression, nefesh kisechta tva, to wonder how could a soul sin if he's a part of Hashem. So therefore he says, that's why the chatas is, the sin is worth for the neshama. And then he brings down like this. Therefore, when it sins, is like this. The body goes back to the ground where it came from. You know, we're dirt, we go back to dirt. Neshama gets the punishment. And la'asad lavei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring the guf and the neshama, and he's going to judge them together. There's a very famous medrash that says that after a person passes away after 120 years, the neshama comes upstairs to heaven, and it's being judged for the sins that it did. So the soul turns to Hashem and says, me? How did I sin? What am I without the body? I'm a neshama, I'm part of God, I don't sin. Hashem turns to the body and says, no. The body says, me, I'm a hunk of meat. Without the soul, I can't move. So don't blame me, blame the soul. So the Medrash gives an analogy. There was a king that had a very beautiful orchard. Unbelievable fruits. And he couldn't hire a guard because every guard would eat up the fruits. So what did he do? He hired two guards. One was blind and one was crippled. So the king's all like this. The blind guy can't eat a fruit, so he won't want him. The crippled guy can't climb the tree to get the fruit. So the king thought he's safe. One day, and this is going on for a while, the attack of the fruit was safe. One day the crippled guy says to the blind guy, you know, this is ridiculous. Do you know what type of fruit's going on over here? And between me and you, we can't get to it. I have an idea. The crippled guy says to the blind guy like this. I can't walk, I can't climb the tree. Let me go on your shoulders. The crippled says to the blind guy, let me go on your shoulders. You'll lead me to the trees. I'll tell you where to go because I could see and you can't. and together we'll eat the fruits and we'll share them. We'll share the fruits together. That's what they did, and they ate up the fruits. The king finds out the fruits were eaten. He calls in the guards and he says, what's going on over here? So the blind guy says, me? I can't even see where to go. I can't even see the fruits. What do you want from me? The crippled guy says to the king, what do you want from me? How can I climb the tree to get the fruits? You can't even eat. What do you want from me? So what does the king do? The king was smart. He puts the crippled guy on top of the blind guy, and he beats them up together. He beats them up together. So the Medrash says that's what happens with the neshama and the body. They come upstairs, everyone dumps it on the other guy. Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to take the nefesh, I'm going to take the goof, we're going to put them together, and we're going to beat you up for the sins that you did. In fact, the Daskim Matev says, Ula Asad Lavei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Guf, Uneshama V'don Eisam. He's going to judge them together, so to speak, to punish them. Okay, so now let's learn a little bit of the pasuk before we discuss more of it. Nefesh Kisachta, if a nefesh will sin accidentally, we call mitzvah Hashem from any of the bishkogah and unintentionally. We call mitzvah Hashem from all the mitzvahs of Hashem. Asherlei se asena that Hashem said should not be done. Va'asa me'achas mehena, and he does one of them. In other words, this, but as Gemara is going to explain, this is not referring to a particular Jew sinning. He's going to go soon into two cases. A kohen Mashiach, meaning the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, sins, or people sin based on a ruling of Beis Din, and the Beis Din made a mistake. The Koyoker over here brings down a very interesting thing, and he says like this, in these few psukim, you will see three different expressions that the Torah uses. Okay? In this pasuk it says, nefesh ki sechta, key means if he sins, or when he sins. He uses the word key. The next pasuk says, im ha-kohen ha-mashiach. He uses the word im, if. A few psukim later, in pasuk chav beis, it says, asher nasi yachta. In pasuk chav beis, it says, asher nasi yachta. When a leader will sin. Over there, he uses the word asher. So the Kli Yoker asks, why is the Torah using the word ki, and the word im, and the word asher? Why doesn't it always use the same type of expression? So he explains like this. So he said, the Mefashim explain, ki means when, im means if. Okay, in Hebrew, ki means when, and im means if.
Was because, no?
Key has four meanings of the word key.
Okay.
But here, ki sechta means when it will sin. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, it's like in English you say, not if he'll do it, but when he'll do it. You know, you're certain the guy's going to sin. So you don't say if he'll do it, you say when he'll do it. Right? So the word ki, which means when, is more common than the word im, which means if. And therefore he says, when it speaks about the plural, the public sinning, and then he says like this, asher, he says, asher, meryos avados, even the word ki. Okay? So he says like this, if the yidden sin, it says, im kol yisrael yishgu. If, because that's not so common. By kohen ha-mashiach, it says, im ha-kohen ha-mashiach yechto pasi gimel, because a kohen gadol, here he speaks about in a derogatory way, the kohen gadol is rich, he's powerful, he's famous, he's great, and therefore he says he has ego. And therefore by a kohen gadol, it's not going to say, ki when, im ha-kohen, if, because it's going to happen, you know, it's going to happen more common. No, I'm sorry, just the opposite. Kohen Mashiach, it says, im Kohen Mashiach, if, because for Kohen Mashiach, he's not going to sin so much. He's not going to sin so quickly as a private individual Jew. Or, if a public sins, is also not so common. So in other words, he's saying like this. When it speaks nefesh kisechta, it speaks about an individual for sure sins. Right? So therefore it says kisechta when you will sin. Not if, but when. You're speaking about a Kohen HaMashiach, the Kohen Gadol, will soon discuss who that is. It's if he will sin. And the same thing when the Jews plurally sin, then, I'm sorry, by Asher Nasi Yachtam, not by the Kohen Gadol, by the Nasi, the Kohen Yachtam says he's going to sin more often. Because he's a leader, he has power, he has wealth, he has might, he has whatever he wants. So he's more, what?
In his capacity
as a leader.
Well, that's because he's got tough decisions, not because...
Correct.
He didn't make, wrong rulings.
But he says like this, and so the Kleiyaku explains, he adds to this explanation, he says like this. Why do people sin? What's a cause of people sinning? Is when they see a lot of people sinning.
Well, it lowers the bar.
It lowers the bar. And in fact, when it speaks about Kohen HaMashiach, this Kohen Gadol who sins, the Mefarshim in two opposite ways. Either he sins because the people are no good, or because he sins the people are no good. It works both ways. Okay? There's a pasuk later on in Chumash and Vayikra, the Torah says the expression V'asimim b'rasheichem. It says, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, take leaders, I will put them as your heads. Vasime means I will put them. But Vasime also comes from the word asham, the sins. Asham is a sin. And negligent, intentional sin is called asham. Asham no begadno, right? Asham means an intentional sin. The Torah says, when people sin, it's the leader's fault. If the leaders would be the way the leaders are supposed to be, the people wouldn't sin. But some of us should learn that because the people sin, that causes the leader to sin. And other of us should learn that because the leader sins, that's why the people sin. So here we're referring to various different causes of sin. Why the community sins, a lot of times it's the blame of the leaders. And therefore, the pasuk says, "Vasimim b'rasheichem," the sins of the Jewish people. Hashem says, "I'm going to blame the heads of the community for the sins that the community does." Because if they would be preaching properly, the Jews wouldn't be sinning. No, if they would be strong leaders, then the people wouldn't sin. What?
Is it one of the other differences between the if and the when? Because when it says when, it's talking about unintentional sins, and those are more likely to occur because...
But even the if, the Torah uses the same expression, yechata.
It's saying, it's speaking of unintentional.
Also unintentional. Yeah.
But when you had a guy like, I think it was Hizkiyahu, who was running around like crazy, you still had people who had idols concealed in their houses and doing all sorts of stuff. And so he should be to blame for that?
The leaders are to blame. What can I tell you? That's what the Torah says. No, let me ask you a question. If your hand hits somebody, who gets yelled at, the hand or the head?
Josh.
I know. That's a Rashi and Chumash, by the way. Rashi and Chumash says, once you have kids, you blame everything that happens in the house on the kids.
It's a
right, yeah, he did it. Who broke it? The kids did it. No, I'm serious. Think about it. The hand hits somebody. Who gets yelled at? The head. So the head says, what do you want from me? I didn't do it. Because you yell at the hand.
Baruch Hashem, when he gets to the house that it is only one person or two persons, then you can't so much blame on the other kids.
That's what it says in Rashi and Chumash. Like this, the spouses blame each other. Once you get kids, the blame goes to them.
Baruch Hashem, still fine.
I have a question about the translation. In this Chumash, the translation where it talks about the entire assembly.
We're not there yet, but anyway, you're jumping the gun. Yeah.
It uses the word "air" instead of "sin." Is there a significance in? Is it different in the Hebrew?
And
is there a significance to that difference?
Yishgu. No, really, Bishgaga also is the same shagig. It's the same word. Okay, no, but the Arachaim HaKadosh adds another dimension over here, and he says like this. The nefesh has to bring the carbon. With the Torah says, what happens if a nefesh sins? You have to bring a carbon. He says, why does the nefesh, why is the Torah using the expression the nefesh bringing the carbon? So he says, because the soul, which was close to God, now by sin, distances itself away from Hashem. Therefore, it has to bring a carbon to become karov, to become back close to the closeness it had before it sinned. The body was never close to Hashem, right? It's the neshama, which is close to Hashem. So when the nefesh sins, the nefesh becomes distant from God. So what does the nefesh have to do? It has to become back closer to Hashem. And that's for bringing the carbon. One of the ways, being a sacrifice. Okay. So it says like this. If the Kohen HaMashiach yachto lashma sa'am, if the Kohen HaMashiach means the anointed Kohen will be the one that sins. Now, there's a din that the Kohen Gadol had to be anointed with the special oil that Moshe Rabbeinu had that we learned about that he anointed the Kohanim with. Now, after the time of Yeshua HaMelech, the Jews weren't so good. So one of the things he hid was this anointing oil that Moshe Rabbeinu made. And they didn't anoint the kings anymore after Yeshua. Yeah. So therefore, the Gemara learns that this only applies to Kohen HaMashiach. This unique, special carbon that he's going to bring is only a Kohen Gadol who was anointed. A Kohen Gadol who's not anointed, like out later on in history, brought a carbon if he sinned, like an individual. We're going to learn the whole process of this carbon is completely different than in the individual's sin offering. It's a whole different process. Okay. So, Yim HaKein HaMashiach Yech Talash Masam, if the anointed king will, if the Kohen will sing, bringing guilt, La'ash Masam, to the community. Okay? In other words, like he says, because the Kohen Gadol, his job is to pray for the Jewish people not to sin. And if he himself sins, who's like going to pray for them? He himself is doing something wrong. And therefore, Rashi says, he brings guilt upon everybody. Because like this, he's praying for them. But if he sins, he doesn't have the ability to pray for them anymore. The other, Ibn Ezra and Sipurna, it's just the opposite way. He says, what does it mean, la'ashma sa'am, to the sin of the nation? Right? The Pasuk says a way weird statement. He says, if the Kohen Gadol sins, la'ashma sa'am, to the sin of the people. How does the sin of the people get here? He's sinning as an individual. So Rashi says it means because when he sins, everybody's going to suffer from it because he won't have a defense attorney to pray for them. Because, you know, he also sins. The Ibn Ezra and Sipurna learn just the opposite. What causes the Kohen Gadol to sin? Because the people are no good. And we find an interesting Gemara. And this is brought down, it's really a Gemara, but in many places in Chassidus it brings down. It's really, it's a pasuk in Chumash also, not in the Gemara. We find, the Gemara says over there, that in the days of Hillel, the rabbis were sitting there, and they said, there's a person amongst our midst that's worthy for prophecy, but the generation is not fit for it. The Gemara realized it was Hillel. Then it was a sort of Shmuel HaKotan also. They said, hey, he's fit for it, but the generation is not fit. So the question, if Hillel was fit for prophecy, who cares about the generation? Why is it Lashma Sa'am that Ibn Ezra and Sipurna said, if the people are no good, so it's lacking in the Kohen also, that causes him to sin? The answer is because they're all interconnected. When Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, we learn by the eagle, after the Jews worshipped the eagle, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, lech reid, go down. So remember, then when we were learning in Parshas Kisi, so we learned, what's the double expression, lech reid, go down? So Rashi explains in the Medrash, klum nasati lecha gedula ela bishvil Yisrael. I only gave you greatness because of the Jews. The Jews are no good, neither are you. It's a remarkable statement. The Torah is saying over here, Nefesh im Kohen HaMashiach yachto, the Kohen Gadol is sinning, la'ashma sa'am, because the people are no good. That means there's still an influence between the head and the people. The way Rashi learns, if the head sins, it's a sin for the community. And the other mafashim, and both are true, by the way. Because the community is no good, then there's something lacking in the heads too. It's like we said before, it's one body, that if you have a foot ache, the head feels the pain and the head becomes dysfunctional. Or like, you don't eat, so the stomach feels grouchy, so the head's fetching. Right? The head doesn't eat, the stomach eats. I mean, so why is the head so kvetchy? Because it's all one thing. And if you think about it, the Torah is teaching us over here that the Kohen's greatness is dependent on the Jew's greatness, and the Jew's greatness is dependent on the Kohen's greatness, on the leader's greatness. Yeah, but Chag Yitzchak and Malachi were the last. Hillel was after them. Okay, now when the Gemara learns Vasa Me'achas Mehena, it means like this. This has to be a unique Kohen Gadol to be able to have this din. Number one, it has to be a scholar. A Kohen Gadol is a scholar that can rule on complex issues. And he decided, what was his sin that he did? He decided that something is allowed when it wasn't. A Kohen made a mistake. Kohen Gadol is a scholar. He has the right to rule on complex halachic issues. He makes a mistake. He rules something is permissible when it's not. And he does what he preached. So then he sinned. By the way, there's an interesting halach in Hilchos Shabbos. If you ask a shayla to a Rav, if you're allowed to do something in Shabbos, and the Rav says yes, and the Rav made a mistake, that's called an accidental sin to bring a karbon chatas. That's a different shayla. Who has to pay for it?
The person or the Rav?
That's the shayla in halacha. No,
who need to bring kork?
No, the person.
The person.
Because he sinned accidentally. What's accidental? I know what I'm doing, but I think I'm allowed to do it. He thinks I'm allowed to do it because the Rav told me he could do it. But the bottom line is, it's wrong. He's not allowed to do it. The only shayla is, can you? Is the Rav indirect damages, direct damages? In Chayshim Mishpat, there's a whole simon called Simon Chafei that discusses what happens if a Bezdin makes a mistake in monetary issues. There's certain mistakes that a Bezdin makes, they have to pay out of their own pocket. Like for instance, it's a whole shot, what the psak is, I don't remember. But let's say you bring a chicken to the Rav with a shayla, you know, like they used to do in the old, today nobody knows what it is. But you don't, they used to bring a chicken to the Rav with a shayla, or the behema, you know, the shach. Then there was a question if it's kosher or not. And the Rav ruled the chicken's treif. And then they realized the Rav made a mistake, and you already threw out the chicken. Many times the Rav would have to pay for the chicken that he made you lose money. Because he caused you to lose a loss of money by making a mistake. Some dinim, yes, some dinim not. The whole section is a complicated simon in Chayshim Mishpat discussing when a bezin has to pay for extracting money or not extracting money, you know, whatever. So in financial things, it's a shayla. The question is it indirect damages? Is it direct damages? Because indirect damages you don't pay for. So that's the.
So when you're in doubt of some, when you call a rub and you're in doubt, should you call for a second opinion?
Whoa.
No.
You mean you? Let's rephrase again. You didn't get the answer you wanted.
No.
It's
not sin.
To make
sure it's not sin.
You're questioning it, and then you think, I just don't know. It just doesn't.
Doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
Was that rabbi shopping?
There is a din in Shulchan Aruch, Tataisis in Gemara, it's in the Gemara. Once you ask a Rav a Shaila, and he forbade it, you are not allowed to ask another Rav. Unless the first Rav gives you permission to ask a different Rav, and you say to the second Rav, what the first Rav told you.
It's forbidden. What if he says something is permissible?
Right. So why would you want to go shop somewhere else?
I think what permissible is where you would go.
It depends. You say, can you put this and this together on Shabbos? It's okay to put this and this together.
Why do you think it's permissible? And you won't ask another one?
So you...
You don't think so.
You're kind of questioning it, is what I'm trying to say. It's more permissible that you would...
It usually doesn't work that way, because once people hear it's permissible, who's going to go shopping for forbidden?
And you see, the person can make a mistake. You're the one that's liable.
The person is liable, not the Rav is liable for what the person... Yeah, but the Rav is liable because he led a person astray. But there are... a lot of times the Rabbanim get shyless. That they don't want to give a heter to, but they just are not in the mood of saying you're not allowed to. I get that a lot of times. I say, go ask somebody else if you want. I can't say yes. If you want, go ask somebody else. But then they have to tell the person that what the other Rav said. Okay.
Undecision is also the answer to tell someone else?
Sometimes no answer is an answer. It is. Sometimes no answer is...
Yeah, when the Rosh Hashanah says, I don't know, means...
I don't know. No, it means... No, it means I don't know.
When you say, I don't know, I know.
It means I don't know. That's what it means.
What
do you mean you're not in the mood now? Huh? Okay, Pasuk Dalet. So what do you do? I mean, sorry. V'ikriv achata Pasuk Gimel, middle. V'ikriv achata seh shechata. He has to bring for the sin that he committed... He has to bring par ben bakar, a young bull. Ben bakar, the Gemara learns it means, what does a par ben bakar means? He has to be, more than a year, but less than 3 years old. The bull has to be over a year, because less than a year is not called a par. But ben bakar means it's still young, so therefore it has to be less than 3 years. Tamim, unblemished, no blemishes. Lashem lechatas, this is what he has to bring. He has to bring, for Hashem, the sin offering of a young bull. Okay? What does he do with it? Again, this is a unique situation. It's not a regular sin offering of an individual sinning. This is, if a Kohen Gadol sins, a sin, I didn't finish the statement before, a Kohen Gadol sins, a sin that... If he would do it intentionally, the punishment would be karis. That's, the Gemara learns out, that's when this din of a kohen sinning applies. And it has to be a din that if he did it intentionally, you'd be chayiv karis. Okay? But if he told you to eat treif and he made a mistake, so there's no punishment of karis, this din wouldn't apply. Okay, he has to bring it lifnei Hashem. Where lifnei Hashem, the Gemara learns out, on the northern side of the Mizbeach, v'samach es yadei areish hapar, he has to put his hand on the head of the bull, v'shachat es hapar lifnei Hashem, he has to shecht the cow, the bull, before Hashem, meaning on the northern side of the Mizbeach. Because the Gemara learns out, whatever it says before Hashem, it means on the northern side of the Mizbeach. V'lokach hakein ha-mashiach midam hapar, he takes the blood from the blood of the bull, and he brings it to the oil maid. Now this was in the time of the Mishkan. There was no Beis Hamikdash yet. I'll explain that. Let's see what he does. The Tovel HaKohen is Etzba'i Badam. The Kohen shall dip his finger. Now Etzba is what we call the index finger. Okay, the first finger after the thumb. Rashi explains it means the index finger. He dips his finger into the blood. V'hiza min Adam sheva pa'amim lifnei Hashem. He sprinkles the blood 7 times. Before Hashem, as Pene Perechas HaKedish, in the towards the curtain that separates the Kedish and the Kedish HaKadoshim. Meaning this was not on the Mizbeach. The Kohen took, shechted the animal on the northern side. He took the blood, okay? He went right next to the Holy of Holies, to the Kedish HaKadoshim, where there was a wall in the Mishkan, separating between the Holy of Holies and the Kodesh. And he sprinkled the blood 7 times towards the wall. It didn't have to touch the wall. It had to sprinkle the blood 7 times facing the wall. This is like one of the exceptional cases. Normally they squirted the blood on the Mizbeach.
The wall or the parochet?
What?
What? Towards the parochet. It's not required, like you quote, Rashi says it's not required that the blood actually touch the curtain.
I have a question on that. If he put one finger, how come he got seven times to sprinkle? Go back and forth seven times?
Yeah, he can go back and forth seven times.
So the blood goes where?
Towards the parochet. And he, Rashi says it was in the middle of the Kodesh HaKodashim was the Aron that took up 2.5 amos, mm-hmm. right? That it was it, towards in that area, in that vicinity where the Aron was.
Just go by there? Or just...
Yeah. Yeah. It does. It did not require that the blood actually touch the curtain.
So what's the purpose of that now?
What's the purpose of this whole thing? Hashem said. Explanations? You can have a lot of reasonings and maybes and, you know. Bottom line is because Hashem said. In fact, by Yom Kippur, they also squirted the blood towards the parechis, but Yom Kippur they did shava lamata v'achas lamaila, like we say in the Machzor in Yom Kippur. Achas lamaila v'shava lamata, right? So altogether it was 8. This is 7.
But the blood, you have to go somewhere. You have to go down.
No, it can go on the floor. It can land on the floor.
Oh,
no. It didn't have to hit the curtain. Make the curtain dirty. Like this, they clean the floor. No, but why? Why towards the Aron? You're talking about the holiest Jew, Kohen Gadol, right? Sinning, he represents the sinning of the whole Jewish people, right? So the forgiveness needs to be done in the holiest places, right? If the holiest Jew is sinning for the whole nation, for the entire nation, which is holy, so it's not enough just to do it on the Mizbeach. He actually has to also do it in... towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim, towards the Aron, which is the holiest part of the, to show the blemish that he did. The blood, like we learned, the concept of the blood is the nefesh, the chayis, the life, the seven times correspond with the seven midas, you know, that he sinned in the seven attributes.
Just one question, he stands in the Kodesh, and
yeah.
Sprinkled toward Kodesh,
towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right. Now, in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, they bring down, this was the Kodesh HaKadosh. It wasn't, there wasn't a curtain. Okay, so then the pasuk continues and says like this. V'nasar HaKohen min Adam, the Kohen, after he squirts his blood seven times, he takes in the blood and he puts it on his Mizbech, K'tedas HaSamim L'fnei Hashem. Now, this again, this is this, remember we learned there's two Mizbeches. There's the big Mizbech they brought all the Korbanos on. That was called Mizbech HaOla. That's where they brought the Ola. Then they brought the Keteres, the incense. That was a small, tiny, golden Mizbech. After he squirted the blood all the way by the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then he takes blood and he puts it on the Karnes Mizbech Keteres Hasam Lefnei Hashem, Asher Ba'Oil Meid, which was in the Oil Meid. So second step of squirting the blood, he squirted it by the golden Mizbeach, where they brought the Kstatus. The Eis Kol Adama part, and the rest of the blood, he should pour Al Yaseid Mizbeach Ha'ela at the base of the Karban of the Ela, Asher Pesach Oil Maid, which was at the gate of the Oil Maid, which was outside the Oil Maid. So in other words, this Kohen, after he shechted his bull, needed to squirt blood three times. Seven times towards the Perechis, a few times on the corners of the golden Mizbeach, and the rest of the blood he just poured at the bottom of the Mizbeach. The whole Beis Hamikdash is full of blood.
Either wearing no shoes or walking
around. It was based, by the way, it was poured on the western base. First of all, how often did a Kohen Gadol sin? I mean, you know. maybe once in a lifetime, what do you think? Kohen Gadol sinned every day and brought this every day. He didn't do that, trust me. Secondly, they had an actual irrigation system in the Beis Hamikdash. The Mishnah discusses, and the Rambam brings down, the way they actually washed the floors of the Mizbeach. They had a well, and they opened it up, and the water would go. And they had canals, like the sewer systems. Okay, they actually would have an irrigation system, poured water all over the floors of the Beis HaMikdash, and then it would go down these channels, and the blood went out to Nachal Kidein. There's a place in Yerushalayim called Nachal Kidein that all the blood went out to. And the Gemara says, and the Rambam brings down also, that Nachal Kidein was extremely fertile land. Because blood has a lot of nutrients. Blood is a very good fertilizer. So this Nachal Kidein had all these blood from the washed down from the Mizbeach, that it was very, it grew a lot of great things. And they were kosher, by the way. I mean, just because it was fertilized with blood doesn't make a treif, but that's what it did. So they actually, Beis HaMikdash was cleaned every day. Huh? The end of the day. They didn't have marriage in the Beis HaMikdash. At the end of the day, whenever they finished Aveda.
But it's prime property.
You know, when you learn the Mishnah about the daily process in the Beis HaMikdash, they went to sleep and they locked the Beis HaMikdash had locks and keys, and they used to lock the doors and they hung the keys next to one of the kohanim who would sleep at night. And then the first thing they did in the morning, a kohen took the keys and he opened the Beis HaMikdash and they went looking inside to make sure everything was in order. Even though what could happen already, you know. But they would walk through the Beis HaMikdash and the kohen came back and said everything's in order, and then the day began. So they actually had keys that locked the Beis HaMikdash. They opened the Beis HaMikdash. That was it worked. That is the system. It was actually on a key ring. Yeah, so there was a whole process that he had. They didn't work, you know. They didn't necessarily work at night.
It wasn't a key like those doors. I mean, it was like a probably big wooden wood that would go inside of the opening, and then
I have to be honest with you, I never saw the key. All I know, the expression is mafteach. Mafteach is a key. You can have a big key, a little key, a medium key.
Iron keys.
When they give you a key to the city, it's a little bigger, you know, it's a bigger lock.
Key to Beit HaMikdash is supposed to be the biggest.
Huh?
Shalom HaMelech
design. Perhaps.
They had
keys all the way back. I mean, you find the concept of why shouldn't there be? I mean, they used to lock from.
Not a big deal.
The Rambam says the whole Shemitah that they watched the 24 places at night. The Kohanim and Levim watched the Beis HaMikdash at night. Kohanim in 3 places, Levim in 21 places. The Rambam writes it wasn't they're afraid of Ganovim. It was just out of respect to the palace. You have guards. You know, it wasn't like Lahavdil, billions of Avdolis. Buckingham Palace guards are not to protect from Ganovim. It's just, you know, the respectful concept of guards. But the Beis HaMikdash didn't have Ganovim. Yet, the halacha was they went in every day and checked out the Beis HaMikdash to make sure everything was good. Okay, then it says like this. What does he do with the rest of the animal? Now he takes off certain parts of the schatas and he burns them. What does he take? He takes the fats of the sin offering from it. Which fats? The fat that covers the inner stomach. And all the fat that's on the innards. The 2 kidneys. That's chelav shalem, the fats which are on them, asher aksalim which are on the flanks. That's yaseres ala kaved and the diaphragm together with the liver, ala kloyis yisirana together with the kidneys he removes. And he says like kasher yurim mishar zevach hashlamim. Just like we learned previously a few psukim ago about the shlamim, the ktirim akayin, the kain takes all these fats, and he burns them al mizbech ha'elam. He burns them on the mizbeach. So the blood had 3 places where that went. All the fats of the animal together with the kidneys and the liver and all that, that was burnt on the Mizbeach HaEla, completely burnt. That's Erapur. What did he do with the rest of the animal? So he said like this. The hide of the bull, that's called Besod, all the flesh, Aureshe Val Kerov, together with his head and feet, the Kirbei Upirshe, and the innards in its waist. What do you do with this? You take the whole bull amichus lamachane outside the mizbeach, outside the camp, al makom tahor, to a pure place, al shefach hadeshim, where they would pour the ashes of the Beis Hamikdash every day, v'saraf eis, and you burn the rest of it, al eitzim ba'esh, and wood with a fire, al shefach hadeshim yisaref, where the ash is to be poured, that's where it is burnt. Now, here, when it says michutz lamachane, it means outside of the Levi camp, where the Levium were. In the Beis Hamikdash, it was outside of Yerushalayim. Okay? So he said like this. The animal itself, the fats of the animal he burnt on the Mizbeach, the rest of the animal, such as the hides, the flesh, the meat, everything else, he took outside of Yerushalayim, and they made a fire where they poured the ashes from the Mizbeach, where they put out the ashes they gathered every day, they would take it out to outside Yerushalayim and put them there to bury, so to speak. That's where you burnt the rest of the stuff with wood. Okay? That's where the utensils, the metzedah went, where the ashes poured, all that went, everything went there. So this animal, nobody ate anything. Even the Mizbeach didn't eat the meat. The Mizbeach only ate the fats of the animal. The meat you just burnt outside. That was the forgiveness for the Kohen Gadol who sinned. Okay? That's din number one. Now, what is Vim Pasuk Yud Gimel? Vim Kol Adas Yisrael Yishgu, what happened if the whole assembly will sin? The whole Jewish nation will sin. And the Gemara says what it means over here, it doesn't mean the whole nation will sin. It means the majority of the nation. Which means 7 out of the 12 tribes will do a sin. How did they commit the sin, or why did they commit the sin? Because the Beis Din of 71, the Beis Din HaGadol, erred in a ruling. Beis Din made a mistake, and because of their ruling mistake, or mistaken ruling, more than half the Jewish people sinned, so that's the din of the next sin offering. And the whole Gemara Hadius is basically based on these Yupsukim that does if Beis Din made a mistake, what type of mistake they made. And again, it has to be a negative commandment which is Chayiv Kares. And he says, unlike the first thing that we just learned, if the Kohen Gadol sins, it doesn't matter if anybody else sins. And this is another Bechlal, is very, so to speak, a wondrous thing how that happens. The Rambam in his Nagdama of Rambam to the whole book Rambam. The Rambam writes, in the earlier times there was never an argument in Jewish law. As long as the Beis Din HaGadol sat in Yerushalayim, there was never a machlekes in halach. Why? Because bottom line is, if there was ever a debate in halacha, they went to the ultimate Beis Din of Shivim Ve'echod. They heard the case, debated it, discussed it, voted. Whatever the majority ruled, that was it. That was the halacha. So there's never practical arguments in halacha because Abek Beis Din made the final ruling, and that's the way it was. Here, the big Beis Din made a mistake. They ruled that something which is an aveda of kodesh, they allowed the people to do, and the majority of the Bnei Yisrael did it. 7 of the tribes did it. Okay, what matters only at the nation is either 7 of the 12 tribes, even if the sinners did not constitute a majority of all the people, or the majority of the total population, even if it was only a minority of the tribes was involved. Okay? This din applies when either the majority of tribes sinned, or the majority of people sinned. Even though it says kol adas, it doesn't mean kol, it means majority. That's what the Gemara learns out from these Pesukim. And the Rabbeinu Bechaya over here explains, why must the Gemara say, because if you look in the Pasuk, it doesn't say Beis Din made a mistake and that's why everybody did it. The Pasuk just says, if everybody sinned, this is the halacha. So the Gemara learned out, how could it mean everybody sinned? It means Beis Din made a ruling. So Rabbeinu Bechaya explains, because how in the world can all Jews sin? In the same negative commandment, everybody's going to sin? So therefore, the Rabbeinu Bachaya said, that's what forces the Gemara to explain, that how did everybody sin? Because the Big Bez, they made a ruling that you're allowed to do it, and they weren't allowed to do it.
Rabbi, is there any recorded instances?
Yeah. I mean, the Gemara discusses cases that happened. They have to uproot part of a law. They can't uproot the whole law. I mean, it's a whole thing. Like if the Big Bezin said, there's no Shabbos, this then doesn't apply. Because Shabbos, if you weren't warned and you did it intentionally, it's Karis. If you were warned, you get stoned. If you did it, you know, intentionally, you get Karis. Therefore, accidentally, you bring Chatos. So Gemara says, if Bezdin says there's no Shabbos, so then this din doesn't apply. It has to be that Bezdin said there's Shabbos, but they permitted one din in Shabbos. Let's say they said you're allowed to cook. And then majority of the Jews cooked, so then Bezdin would have to bring this carbon. Or officially the call, but it means the Bezdin brings the what?
Bedin is also a Bedin of three rabbis or the head rabbi of
it? Here? Yeah. About 71.
It has to be 71.
Only 71 Bezin. The Bezin 23 made a mistake. It's judged as individuals. It has to be only the Bezin of 71.
Like
it's like the Supreme Court, not the Senate. Well, it's different. Because in today's world, Lahavdil, if I'm not mistaken, I can't tell you that I know what I'm talking about in this, but the Supreme Court interprets the Constitution. The Congress can redo the Constitution. In other words, the Supreme Court in the civil system in America can only interpret what the law means, but they cannot make the laws. That the Congress has to make, the Senate and the House, they have to make the laws. Instead, they only interpret, the court only interprets the laws that the Congress makes, i.e. the Constitution.
Well, that's the intent.
What they learn whatever the intent of the Constitution is. But they cannot, like for instance, if Congress doesn't like a ruling of the Supreme Court, they don't have a problem. They just rewrite the law. No, that's what they do, right? You amend the Constitution, you make a vote, and you know, you start the politicking, and that's what happens. But Bezdin is also interpreting the laws that Hashem gave. I mean, Bezdin was given certain authority. Bezdin has an authority to say, don't do a certain mitzvah. Bezdin doesn't have an authority to say, eat chazer. That Bezdin doesn't have an ability to do. Bezdin could say, don't blow shofar on Shabbos, don't do lulav on Shabbos. It's called sheva al taseh. The Gemara has a rule, yesh koyach biyad chachomim lakar dover min ha-teireh b'sheva al taseh. Chachomim were given the ability to uproot a din of the Torah, but only by telling you not to do something the Torah tells you to do. But they don't have the power to say, do something the Torah forbids. Unless there's a prophecy from God, it's called Hirosh Shah. I'll give you an example. Once the Beis HaMikdash was built, it was forbidden to do any bummer. Before the Beis HaMikdash was built, you wanted to bring a carbon. You're able to build a platform in your backyard called a bama. Bama means a high place. You're able to bring a bama and bring a carbon. No problem. With a carbon, with everything. You're able to do it.
In the backyard?
In your backyard. Front yard. Middle of the house. Not in the bathroom, though. It's not nice. But you're able to... It was a hutter abamas. The bamas were mutter. Then the Eberster says, when it became a mokam asher yivcher Hashem, then the Pasuk says later in Dvarim, Bamas Nesru Kola Bamas Kulam. Gemara says you weren't allowed to make any bum. Kim alamokim ashiyif charashem. You want to bring a carbon, the Torah says you can only bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. So Gemara learns from there, bamas were forbidden. Yet we know the famous story on Eliyahu and Har HaKarmel with the 400 prophets. against him, right? After the Pashas Kisisa, unless it's Shabbos, whatever. The story of Eliyahu Har Carmel. So the Gemara asks, Eliyahu Navi built a Mizbeach. It wasn't in the Beis HaMikdash. Eliyahu Navi built a Mizbeach, and he brought a carbon, right? And he said, don't bring a fire, and the fire came down from heaven. The whole works. So the Gemara said, Eliyahu Navi bring make a bummer when it's asr. So the Gemara answers, Hirah Shah Haisa. It was Hashem himself said Eliyahu Navi was a Navi. Hashem told Eliyahu Navi, this is an exceptional case. But Bez Din itself, without the power of Navur, so to speak, cannot just come along and say eat chazer or make a bama or do something that they don't have a right to do. And it's a very simple reason why. The rebelling against Hashem is more when he says don't do it and you do it than if he says do it and you don't. Active sin is worse than passive sin. Right? Like we learned, the Farshim said over here, by the way, here also, by these psukim. Why is it that for a positive mitzvah that you don't do, you don't get punished? Somebody doesn't put on tefillin, they don't get punished. If a woman doesn't like Shabbos candles, okay, it's a rabbinic mitzvah, you don't get punished. If you eat chazer, you get whipped. Right? Because if you don't put on tefillin, what, you didn't do anything. You didn't actively sin. Right? When you eat chazer, you actively went against God. That's a much worse thing. Beis Din doesn't have the koyach. Beis Din doesn't have the authority to say, actively sin. Now, if Beis Din did and they made a mistake, so that's why you have this carbon, a sin offering for the entire community. Then, by the way, it's an interesting din. Then the individuals don't bring. In this case, l'chayr, everybody should bring an individual that 100,000 people sinned. Why don't they have to bring their own carbon? No, because it's a majority of the Jews sinning based on the ruling of Beis Din. The halacha is, there's one carbon for everybody. If one guy, less than the majority, the majority minus one, yeah, the din is, you need every Jew to bring a separate carbon. Once it's the majority, either of the Shvatim or the population, one carbon covers them all. It's probably a good idea if they're sitting there, just get the majority going, you save a lot of money.